Hello, and welcome to the Screamcast, a podcast about MTV's slasher series, Scream. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga.
And today we're not talking about MTV's slasher series, Scream. We are talking about the 1996 horror classic from West Craven. The dearly departed.
East of Craven. What?
Yes. Scream, the first movie. We're talking about the first Scream movie. And we're very professional, and we have no outline to speak of.
Absolutely none.
We just finished the movie. I've seen it quite a few times. Olga has never seen it.
This was my first time watching it.
Yes.
For those who missed it, yes, I decided to start with the TV show Scream as the first slasher thing that I've seen, other than, like, American Horror Story, but that doesn't really count.
I mean, I guess there are slasher elements, because there's elements of everything.
We're not here to talk about that, but yeah.
But yeah, so this is completely off the cuff, first reaction type of thing. We might try to structure it by character, but first of all, like, what did you think? It's okay if you didn't love it as much as as me and all the cool people.
Well, here's the thing. So, yeah. I have lived on this earth for over two decades.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said 20 decades. That is incorrect.
Decades.
In other words, I'm 21. So, as an avid consumer of pop culture, I have been exposed to tropes and, frankly, also misconceptions about the slasher horror genre, as we've discussed. You were, like, super disappointed with what I thought of the genre at first, and I was like, what? It was just my interpretation. But anyway, after having seen it, the movie, Scream, I have to say, I see the appeal, but going back to, like, pop culture references things, I wasn't really surprised by anything still.
So I'm sure it helped that you had already knew about Billy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's another thing that we covered, that Dan spoiled Billy practically on purpose.
It wasn't, I'm just a doof.
I'm not bitter about it at all, no.
No, that certainly didn't help, because I do think that one of the things they do pretty well here, and I mean, it was partially because of the times, but at the time, I think that they did a very good job of making it so obvious that it was Billy, then killing Billy, pretty definitively.
Yeah.
And then also making it confusing because it clearly, like, it didn't seem, because the idea of two killers also wasn't super prevalent time either.
That's true.
And so that was definitely a bigger surprise, I think, at that time, and that, in a lot of ways, Scream is what popularized the multiple killer thing.
Yeah.
And not saying it's the first thing that ever did it, but most people probably wouldn't go into the theater expecting that. So, so there's a lot of things that I appreciate it for what it did at the time, and that, yes, looking back, it's not as, you know, necessarily revolutionary, because, like there are moments where you're like, oh, this is too meta, but, like, at the time, that was, like, really revolutionary and really innovative, that they would have things like Randy yelling at the screen and the same things happening to him.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say of the whole, like, I've seen it before, so it's very difficult for me to
divorce yourself from
it. Exactly, to say, like, oh, yeah, this was new at one point, which is why with a lot of TV shows, when they do something that's inspired by, like, a more classic show, it's a lot less surprising. Like, some people who watch a classic show, they might be like, oh, that's clearly an influenced by the such and such. And I'm like, yeah, but they might have improved on it. So going back to the classic doesn't always
make it
as good, because, yes, it was new at a time, but then they've done something above and beyond potential. I'm not saying that I necessarily think that the Scream show
did a much better job.
It was fun. It was a fun watch, and this was a fun movie to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, so similarly, I guess one of the first things that also probably doesn't seem as revolutionary to you is the opening scene, which, again, at its time was very surprising, given that Drew Barrymore was the big star, and that a lot of the marketing did not make it clear that she didn't continue on through the movie.
Right.
I mean, it is an homage, it's a Psycho homage, but, you know, pretty surprising at the time, and I just think, in general, like, even though it's not necessarily surprising anymore, I think it's still a pretty good cold open. And I especially like things like the parents hearing her over the phone and everything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew, without the direct knowledge of knowing the marketing had featured Drew Barrymore a lot. I mean, she's like front and center on the poster.
Yeah.
I knew that. And I knew that it was surprising that she was killed in the first scene of the movie. So that kind of, I kind of inferred that it was different in that case.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have no, despite that seeming like the most stolen thing probably from the Scream movie nowadays, and had its own homage with Nina on the Scream TV series.
Because I don't even remember if we've ever talked about, do you know that Nina is a famous actress?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Because, like, Nina, Inari wasn't very, didn't know her that well.
I remember seeing her, Bella Thorne,
she's mainly famous because she's a Disney
person. Yeah, I think I remember that. I think that was on the tail end of my
Disney watching.
Not even, it was later, but Disney knowledge, like, coming across it on cable.
Yeah.
And not immediately changing the channel. Now I immediately change the channel.
All right, do we want to get into the characters?
Let's go by character.
Okay, so...
at least approximately.
Yeah, we want to start with Sydney?
Yeah, let's just start with Sydney. Yeah.
What did you think?
First of all, the fact is that at least somewhat the actors / teenagers, not so much, but the teenage roles, they actually dress them and, like, make sets that would appear
in
like
real life.
Teenagers. Yeah. Like, that's something that in the she walks around in pajamas that aren't the most attractive pajamas, and she walks around in sweats, and that's a thing that you didn't get on the Scream TV series, first of all. Everyone was, like, dressed to the nines constantly in their own house. Okay.
Yeah.
So she felt pretty real.
Yeah.
Even when she made, like, seemingly stupid decisions, it made sense as something that, you know, you wouldn't expect someone in real life to react differently.
Yeah.
But it seemed over-exaggerated because you do know you're watching a movie.
Yeah.
So, all in all, I actually really liked her character, liked her reactions.
What do you think about her compared to Emma?
She's more interesting than Emma.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned how you like Scream because the characters fight back.
Yeah.
Specifically, the female characters fight back. And I agree 100%. At first, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess maybe a little. And then as the movie went on, I was like, no, they're freaking kicking and throwing things, and they're not giving up. They're not just going to roll over and, like, cower. Mm-hmm. And that's something that not exclusively happened in the TV series, but definitely not to the same extent.
So something I wanted to tell you about that was that I had read an interview about, like, midway through this for the season that the writers decided they wanted to make the killer in the show more, like, flawless until the end, because they're like on TV we have, like, Dexter and Hannibal and, like, all these, like, mastermind people that are, like, untouchable, and they said, like, a bunch of other people. I forget who else they mentioned, but, and that they didn't want the, like, part of what Scream is known for is, like, there are, I don't know if it happened in, I can't remember if it happened in this one, but in, there are movies where, in Scream, where, like, the killer trips, and, like, he's, like, a human being.
Yeah.
Which also was slightly different from a lot of slashers where you have, like, Jason going around basically an undead, whatever, you know, like.
Right.
And so the fact that they actually were people, to me, is a really enjoyable part of the Scream movies, that I understood they wanted to make him, I understand, like, it's kind of cool that he has, like, this master plan that unfolds or whatever, but you can still have him make fumbles, and I think especially, like, in the finale even, it's not like Brooke fought back when, you know, they could have done it then.
Yeah.
And so, like, yes, she at least, like, I don't think she was usually stupid, like, she did at least lock out Branson and stuff like that, but... she wasn't, like, Tatum throwing the bottles at him, and...
Yeah, and the amount of kicking, and just, like, they're not just using... It was just, it seemed better and more, like, a real fight or flight.
Yeah.
Like, you would have the fight response sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing that kind of helps this movie over maybe the show is that even... Well, you might disagree with me on this, that the fact that there were so many people... Like, they brought in the finale of the show, that one kid wearing the Brandon James mask.
Right.
But I think the fact that there were constantly people doing that...
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like that they established the fact that this is a costume that is everywhere, and it's not something that is hard to locate around, yeah. and therefore anybody could have it, anybody could do it.
Yeah. And it does, like, become gives you this thing where, yes, you can see it one of two ways, where, like, when Sydney's on the phone and she just assumes it's a prank, and it's like, that's understandable, because, like, you know, Randy probably would play a prank like that and would make a scary voice, but you do have the idea of, like, well, you as a viewer know it isn't, so she feels stupid. So I think it's a personal thing, whether that creates tension or just annoying. Yeah. But, like,
I wouldn't say it was annoying.
Yeah.
And I think it actually helped with secondary character development in this case of, like, the sheriff having to deal with this and the principal, reason to see the principal, Henry Winkler. But going back to Sydney.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, the stuff with her mom. Mm. It was just, like, it felt so mashed in.
Mm.
Like, for example, something we discussed about the finale is whether or not, if you didn't have time to think about it, like, if it was a movie and it was Piper, you probably wouldn't remember that, oh, yeah, she said her dad died, and this happened, and then that happened, and you probably wouldn't have time to go through the suspects.
Yeah.
So, going into seeing the movie, I was kind of looking for lots of clues that would be, like, setting something up similarly, knowing that because it's a movie, they're going to just slide it in, yeah. and
you might miss it.
And you're supposed to miss it in a way until your once motive is revealed, and that's how I felt about her mom. So, her reaction of, like, oh, I don't want to know this about my, you know, I don't want to believe it, blah, 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 but then she has a speech about, like, what if it's, like, a passed on thing, and that made no sense.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. She's worried that do you think that it's crazy that she's worried that her mom being a slut, that she's worried about having sex because she doesn't want to turn out like her? You think that's crazy? I don't know.
So, the way I interpreted, I mean, I guess, okay, I didn't think of that. The way I interpreted her not wanting to have sex was because her mom was, in her mind, raped.
No, that's not what she's talking about.
Okay, well, I didn't, that's not how I perceived it, but your explanation makes sense, so now, okay, that, I'm okay with that now.
She's an interesting one if you take it from a gender representation. Like, this is an interesting movie, because going up to this movie, like, the whole virgin thing, and a virgin's the only one who can survive, and all the other ones get punished, or whatever, like, that's obviously, even though, like, even the 70s movies were kind of celebrated because the woman was usually the one who won, and, like, that alone was a big deal back then. But, yeah, obviously the virgin thing was not great, and so the movie tackled it very directly as far as, you know, like, she actually has sex and is still alive. At the same time, it was made in 96, and still, it was just a stepping stone.
Right. Of course.
And it's one of those things where it's like, I almost like some of Emma's storyline better, because it isn't all about, like, oh, I don't know if I can have sex. And the thing that a lot of people talk about is, yes, she has sex and survives and wins or whatever, but it's not like she isn't punished for having sex. The person she had sex with was the murderer. Like,
That's still it. She's still punished for having sex. Yeah. Whereas in the TV show, Emma's punished for having sex by having her ex-boyfriend, I guess. Yeah. Killed in front of her.
Yeah.
So.
And he was a douchebag who was betting, and it was filmed, all these things.
Yeah. But arguably not as bad.
Yeah, I guess the reason, the first few episodes of Scream, I always personally, and I don't know if it's just like the little choices or the dialogue choices or what, I always liked Neve Campbell better than Willa Fitzgerald.
I agree.
But I think some of the things they were doing in the first few episodes of the TV show were maybe a little bit better, because I liked that it seemed at the beginning that it was just incidental that she had had sex with Will at one point, and that her storyline was much more about, like, feeling like a bad friend and stuff like that.
Yes.
And so that, I thought, was interesting. And I liked that. At the same time, I think Neve Campbell did a better job. And the other thing, I will at least point out that, yes, she is technically punished for having sex, but she also makes it into other movies and continues on having had sex and succeeded, like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So there's a little bit of a mixed bag. There's also this sort of the negative idea here that, like, it's almost saying, like, oh, her mom got what she deserved to a degree, or, like, it's all her fault that all this happened. So there's definitely some negative things going on there. But again, she in one movie had more of an arc than Emma had in a season.
Well, we found ourselves being like, Emma's the boring one.
Yeah.
Sydney's not the boring one. Sydney is definitely the protagonist. Yeah. You're rooting for her.
Yeah.
You don't want her to have, like, relationship trust. You know, you kind of, there actually comes a point where it's like, trust your boyfriend. Yeah. He's a great, like, there's, you know, he's pressuring you into sex, but, like, he didn't kill her. Yeah. And.
Yeah, and there's also, I mean, there is the fact that, like, that first time she interacts with the killer, you know, Billy's there, and she immediately turns on him.
Oh, yeah. That was like, good. Yeah. I like, that's one of the things where I was like, oh, that's a little suspicious, but it's actually realistic. I wouldn't trust anybody. Yeah. Or someone's like, I don't know, let me wait until the penultimate episode to be told I shouldn't trust everybody.
Yeah.
Okay,
definitely.
Now I'll start turning on people. Yeah, weird. But I guess something, what I was thinking of is because they set up sex as one of the motivators for Billy, he wasn't really getting it from Sydney, so I guess I don't understand. Did Stuart and Billy, or Stewie, whatever, I don't know. I had to
look at I always forget his name, I have to be honest.
I'm like, Matthew Lillard, I don't know.
I think I legitimately, in one of the previous podcasts, said it was the killers were Billy and Randy, but meant Stewie, because Stewie and Randy, like...
No, ew. Yeah. Did Stewie and Billy have sex with Sydney's mom?
I'm thinking no. I guess it is ambiguous, but I'm thinking that that she had sex with Cotton Weary. And
okay.
Had been
Liev Schreiber.
Yeah. who comes back quite a bit in the future movies.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm excited. I like Liev Schreiber. Yeah. Except when he was in the Wolverine origin movie. Oh, God. That was terrible. I do not endorse. The Scream Pod... What's your Twitter handle?
At Scream Pod.
At Scream Pod does not endorse the Wolverine origins film.
I agree with that.
All right. I feel terrible. I don't know his Twitter handle. Mm. Everyone follow at ScreenPod.
Should we move from someone?
We really should, because I'm clearly having trouble speaking.
Yes, you have the list.
I do have the list. Oh my god, it's 11:11. Make a wish. Can I get my shit together?
You can figure your stuff out.
Get my shit together. He's so nice to me. Okay, let's talk about Billy.
Yep.
On a related note. So, Billy establishes that he's not as into Sydney because she's not putting out.
Mm-hmm.
So then, punishes the mom for being a slut with Stewie. Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's still fucked wants up. To have sex and with it's because she's sleeping with his
dad. Who made the mom leave.
Yes.
Yep.
And that is the thing that I got off on a tangent. Mm. But earlier, if I had time to sit with that, like in the show, that would have stuck out to me as much as Piper's dad dying. Like, I would have been like, his mom left. We never found out why his mom left. And there were a lot of hints. And that's one of the things I actually really liked. Because once you kind of stop, you believe Billy's dead.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and then he gives a speech about how it was a callback from Randy saying, it's the new millennium.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need a motive. He echoes that saying, you don't need a motive. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of believe that for a second. And then he's like, but your mom was a whore who slept with my dad and drove my mom away and she abandoned me. Boom. That was slick. Yeah. That was a slick ass villain speech.
Yeah, no.
That was
I think
badass.
He does a very good job with the role.
Yes.
I it's an interesting thing because he's a hard character to say, like, until the climax when he's revealed, I feel like he's a hard character to say they're doing well because, but at the same time, they are doing well because they're making him obvious on purpose so that you think he's a red herring.
Right.
But I wish they had maybe thrown in like a sliver of something positive about him.
That's true.
Yeah. Like,
he was really.
He's like just like, because you don't even understand why Sydney would like him at all is my feeling.
Yeah. And, unlike Will.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, Will was charming, but then he had that blackmail storyline. Yeah. You're like, oh, he's got that.
Or even like Kieran, for most of the season, I was like, Kieran could easily be a killer. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was like, well, Kieran seems kind of nice.
So are they fixing Billy?
Yeah, in some ways.
Now I totally understand what you were always talking about with Jake and Will being Stewie and Billy. Like, that makes so much sense to me now, is how their blackmail storyline and them turning, almost turning on each other with the shovel.
Yeah.
Like, him having, what was it? Did Will have a knife?
He had the knife, I think.
Yeah. Like, how that was very much, I think, an homage slash inspired by the dynamic, albeit that dynamic is more psychopathic and less financially oriented.
Well, the other thing that was interesting was that they kind of did Billy twice in the TV show between Will and Kieran, and that I was very unclear whether they were going to have both of them not be the... I mean, they actually did end up having both of them seem like Billy but not be Billy. And I thought for a little while, like, maybe one of them would be, like, the obvious Billy but not be Billy, and the other one would actually end up just being Billy.
I still think Will was mostly Billy.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely see that. But I guess, like, when... Especially when Kieran slept with Emma in that, that episode, like, in the woods or whatever, I was like, well, this seems like a redo of Billy, you know?
Yeah. I have to say, despite... Oh, I did say that it was really that when I pointed out how skeevy it was, him pressuring her to have sex, where because they're playing high schoolers, but they're in their 20s, of course.
Yeah.
Which is something I still brought up with the TV show, but it was grosser in the movie because it was more sexual. But they kind of have initially them playing the naivete.
Was it more sexual in the TV? It was, they had sex in like a couple episodes.
How weird is that? I think that the TV show is less sexual despite having more sex. Okay. I am so jaded. Well,
that's weird. You know, that's a weird thing to say, especially, you know, given like all of Brooke's underwear things and like,
well, that's the thing. I'm like desensitized to that, but she was, we'll get to Brooke slash Tatum. Yes. I almost said Tamarind. That's not,
that's a restaurant I've been to.
Yeah. That is also, is it a spice? Tamarind?
I think so, okay.
It's late. Anyway, what I was saying about how the movie is more sexual, based on the fact that it's more hesitant, I'd say, overall, about sex. In the show, they embrace, like, oh, he's a virgin, and they're kind of more proud, weirdly, of it. And they've got more, like, they just bring up sex more casually in a more realistic way, I'd argue, that teenagers slash young adults
maybe bring it up. I think there are plenty of people who would be like Sydney at that age.
Oh, no, no. Well, that's the thing. Her acting that way, but looking like a person in her early 20s with this weird girlish, like, naivete.
Yeah, whereas Emma didn't have that.
No,
yeah.
No. But at the same time, I'm not saying she was, like, super sultry or, like, a nympho either.
Yeah. Well, the thing I would say, it's interesting, because the only person that I really get where you're coming from there is Emma over Sydney, because I think Kieran looks a lot older than Billy, honestly, and...
I'd say they look the same age.
I guess that's debatable, but I do think the people that I don't really like as far as age are Stewie and Randy, that they just both look so, like, I think that's, we'll get to Randy in a bit, well, I'll wait on it, so... I don't know. Is there anything else you want to say with that?
Just that's what grossed me out because it was more about the hesitation playing them up. It made me uncomfortable of like, it's the whole thing of making women act girlish. And how that is sexually appealing even when she's saying no and I don't want to. Like, I think that's just it where it wasn't even the subtext. That's just something that maybe is in a way like so prevalent accidentally in pop culture that it just didn't sit well with me.
No.
I don't think it would have been an issue in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, but coming from the current context for me, made me pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, I can see that. I would say that the scenes of dialogue between Billy and Sydney are probably the weakest points of the movie, in my opinion. I just don't... And I don't know if it's the musical choices or the acting or the lines themselves. I think some of it's the lines themselves.
Right.
Well, I did want to throw in there that this is written by Kevin Williamson, known famously for Dawson's Creek, The Vampire Diaries, The Following.
Really?
And the Scream series.
Really? Yes. Wow. He did The Following?
Yes.
And all those other things?
Yes.
Oh, I watched The Following. Yes. I'm like...
Well, the funny thing is, in my personal opinion, The Following is the weakest of those three things.
Probably. I just love me some Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. What I really enjoyed, I saw, like, most of season one of The Following. I really enjoyed the three follower people, like, the gay or bisexual people and the woman. They were cool.
That show was so dark, it made me lose sight of happiness. Well, my mom couldn't handle it. She's like, how can you handle this? I'm like, I can't. Let's keep watching.
All right. Should we move on to another character?
Yes. Let's... Oh, God. I really don't want to talk about Gale Weathers.
Gale Weathers.
I
so
really
this,
don't want to talk about her, but
let's,
fine.
Let's talk about her in combination with Dewey, maybe.
Adorable.
As far as...
No. No. No.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. I was actually happy that the show chose basically not to do either of these characters.
Yes.
Because, like, yes, Piper is sort of Gale, but... much nicer and then
the
crazier.
Gale's like definitely antagonistic in some ways. Like, I mean, you don't suspect her as the killer at all.
Though, here's the thing.
Do you?
I don't, I'm glad they didn't redo her, but I actually don't mind Gale as a character as far as, like, I think she leads to interesting moments. It's like, I love the punk in the face.
Oh, yeah, that was
I think
cool.
That's a fantastic moment. And I like the sort of frenemy, and I mean, and the other thing is she does arc, and I said I know more of her moving forward. As far as I like where she starts and then how she transforms over time, but Dewey is one of those things where he's like, I kind of flip-flop between like absolutely despising him and being like, it's fun to despise him.
That's where so that's the thing. I don't disagree with you about Gale having a story arc, having development. I don't dislike the fact that she's in it.
Oh, and I want to throw in that I also like the whole gun thing with not the no safety and then her shooting him at the end.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, and then also you have multiple strong women that survive.
It was
nice.
That was great.
Yeah.
They're standing over. It was very, in the end, it very much reminded me of that, obviously, the final scene where in the Scream TV show where Emma and Audrey, they shoot Piper, and it was like a cool...
I guess it's actually exactly the same thing, because it's the side person shoots them first, and then the main person kills them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Gale, I agree with you that I don't dislike the fact that her character's in it and what her character does. Mm. It's mostly just a thing of, like, her not necessarily being pleasant to watch until she becomes...
better.
a better, and also just, like, gets to have that strength of, like, basically only once it's the villains are revealed from that point on am I like, boss ass bitch. But then again, they're like, and she magically has a news crew and is taking advantage. Like, I get it. They're trying to build up. Piper was a contrast to her of Piper being just like, I come and I investigate and I interview and that's all I do. And I win people over. And it's like, no, I barge in and I get the story and I'm gonna get a Pulitzer.
I feel like that should have been more of a tip off, like right away when Piper showed up and was so much nicer than Gale Weathers. But
see, that's the thing. I feel like if I had seen this movie before I saw the show, I would have been way more suspicious. Mm. But you guys were pretty suspicious of her from the beginning too. So,
sort of in connection with Dewey, I think that I believe his name's Kenny, the cameraman, is kind of a better version of Dewey as far as just like dopey and like enjoyable to watch.
Yeah,
like I enjoy every little small moment of Kenny.
He had
being,
no lines.
Yeah, very
well,
few.
Like five.
Yeah.
I really like that actor. He's in he's in Deadwood.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like him. I think he's in Deadwood.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say about Dewey?
Dewey was for me funny to watch. Mm. Scream Season 2 better not have a Dewey.
Yeah.
Then again, maybe all the deputies fucking up constantly
is the
collective Dewey, but they didn't have to waste specific screen time on them. Maybe that's it.
I forgot, like, of the sheriff, the guy above Dewey, that he, like, even existed in this movie. Because he's not, like, necessarily a bad cop, but he's just, like, so non-existent in the movie.
Yeah.
That, like...
He's just... overwhelmed by the...
Yeah.
But even... they had just enough of the sheriff since they had to focus on Dewey. If they tried to do both, I would have... wouldn't have cared either way.
Wait. Okay, am I just, like, making a mistake here? Or is it really Stewie, Dewey, and Randy all in one movie?
What's the big deal about Randy?
I'm just saying Stewie, Dewey, and Randy. It's just, like, it's all very similar kinds of names that are easy to be mixed up.
I mean, I agree. Three different kinds of annoying. Mm. Actually... Stewie is not annoying.
Yeah, let's move to Stewie.
Stewie is my favorite. Oh,
you really like Stewie.
I enjoyed
how much it made me like Stewie more. How much you liked Stewie.
I got really enthusiastic about Stewie, especially once it was revealed that he and Billy. See, that's another thing, Billy.
Yeah,
that's another name.
Weird naming conventions here, Kevin.
'90s. Anyway, Stewie, once he's revealed as one of the killers. Mm. I was just, like, so on board with his deranged, like, giddy performance. He was always giddy. He was always that guy. He was, like, that douchey guy. You might have seen him in your high school.
Mm.
You probably did. I know I had a guy along those lines, minus, hopefully, murder.
Yeah.
Who's not super subtle, and I can see... I like that they toned him down to make Jake.
Mm. Yeah, so it's one of those things where the first time I saw this, he kind of was... a case of that thing we'd talked about of he's so drippingly crazy that I had trouble believing. Yeah. And the thing is,
I see.
Watching it a few more times, each time I watch it, I'm more like, okay, he's kind of crazy throughout the entire thing and people just accept it.
They build it up perfectly, I think. Yeah. And then he just gets a little bit more like bonkers hilarious. Yeah. He has a bit more one-liners. Like, there's this thing where he's like, wait, you really called the police? My mom and dad are gonna kill me! But he's, like, coughing up blood already at that point. That was awesome. And I was like, A plus performance. It was fun to watch. I'd say that he was the most fun character. Because I did not think Randy was fun.
Okay.
And Randy was supposed to be,
Let's hold off for one second on Randy. Because I want to throw in one quick thing. Yes. Which is that, he's thinking about as far as the killers, and we're not going to do him as a separate character. Okay. So I'm going to throw... I forgot just how much movie stuff was in this movie.
Geez.
And I actually kind of missed that in the show. Like, we did have that opening conversation when that episode where Emma's going around locking all the windows and has the bat, where he does, like, mention, like, How to Get Away with Murder and a couple other shows and stuff like that. And that was nice. But that was really dropped kind of in favor of the Brandon James backstory. Which do you prefer? Were you missing the weird backstory of an old fashioned killer or anything? Or do you think that was a goofy addition to the TV show?
No, I think so if I understand what you're saying, the fact that by building up Brandon James, they minimize the whole tropey...
I think to some degree that the referential...
Okay.
Like, yeah.
I think that they let Noah be more exclusively the source. He was super...
Yeah, very quippy.
No, he was very quippy. Yeah. He was more referential, whereas here it was like, Randy was the one explaining the tropes, but Stewie was also had a lot. Jake had a few.
Yeah.
I'm glad Jake is a toned down, more fleshed out, three-dimensional... Stewie, as opposed to him being the boyfriend of the Tatum equivalent, Brooke.
Yeah.
They're friends, and then in this, they're boyfriend, girlfriend, I guess, or at least, like,
the more we
talk together.
About these things, I think a lot of it is that not necessarily certain things are better in one versus the other as much as there were the right choice at each of their times.
I agree.
I really like Stewie in this movie, but if they did him again, I don't think I would have liked it as much. And so toning him down for Jake, I think, was the right choice.
I agree. And toning down...
the reference. And
the
references
the killer. From that, transferring back to Noah. Yeah. Noah being calm, but still explaining things.
Actually, I just realized that the killer kind of... forget about Brandon James. The killer became the social media killer instead of the movie killer. Because think about the GIFs and the hashtag mind blown.
They actually even then, that came on really strong in the first, like, three episodes.
And then they kind of dropped
it. Then until hashtag mind blown, which I will, for the rest of my life, try to forget, they didn't really have anything like that. Yep. So they switched it out, but it wasn't crazy either way.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they didn't try to set up, like, and here's this legend of this murderer in this movie. Yeah. I don't know what they do in future ones. I'm assuming there might be something like that in future
Not
ones.
Not really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm glad the show did something different, that made sense
I mean,
for the
show. The show, that, to me, that's more of a... It decided to reference other horror movies by doing that, as opposed to just making everything homage to Scream.
I'm perfectly happy because it was... Scream was trying to point out tropes, embrace some...
Yeah.
Turn others on their heads, and I can see how that, for the first time, probably in the mainstream anyway, was meta and revolutionary, and everything else kind of came after that, trying to match that level of, like, reference.
So let's talk about Randy.
He was annoying as shit.
You're not gonna, a lot of fans are not gonna be happy with you for that one. I well, here's the thing. I like a lot of things involving him, but I think that the way he was either directed or just chose to perform the part is not endearing the same way that Noah is.
Absolutely.
And so I do think, like, I definitely think that, like, what they did with the character was you know, was special for the time. And I think especially a lot of people would point out the scene in the movie store where everybody's talking about who the killer is, that especially was very, you know, different. That they were in the movie, they'd be having the conversation that you're having while you're watching the movie, basically.
Yep.
And so that was a big deal. Okay, so one of the main reasons that I like Noah more than him is very superficial, and it's just that Noah looks like a kid, and Randy looks so much not like a kid to me, and it's like it's hard for me to buy him as a human being. And like I think he's like Noah, yes, he's self-referential, but I also feel like he had more range.
Absolutely.
And you know, I obviously Randy came first, and there's something to be said for that, but I think Noah is significantly better.
Okay, so again, I still agree with you, because literally it follows up on my point of it being, yeah, like revolutionary and important, yep, and I'm glad that it happened,
yep,
and that he was necessary, a character like this was necessary for what they were trying to achieve. Yep. I respect that. I understand that. Mm. However, the performance of Randy, he's the douchey nerd. He's the douchey nerd.
He's not. His performance is pretty similar to Stewie, honestly. Like, they both, like, when he has, like, everybody's a suspect. Like, I feel like I could picture Stewie doing that.
No.
You don't think so?
Stewie is manic. I'd say Randy is more of a...
You don't think the everybody's a suspect thing seemed manic?
No, I think it was supposed to be the thing of, like, the social awkward, yeah, lack of self-awareness.
Yeah.
And that could be, again, a thing of, I've seen this character before. Yeah. I've seen it done more interestingly. I've, yeah, seen it done better. I've seen it done in ways that aren't performed by Jamie Kennedy. I don't know. Yeah. Take your pick. I'm not saying, like, everyone should hate this character. I'm, yeah, just saying I couldn't... Every time I saw him after the first introductory scene by the fountain where we meet him...
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to keep seeing him. He was like, oh, I have a chance with Sydney. Yeah. Like, that is so... Like, it's the douchey nerd. Yeah. It's the douchey guy who thinks he's better than everyone because he gets the references, yeah, because he thinks he knows so much. And one of the reasons I like Noah more is because he doesn't really do that. He has the quips, but he's not cocky about it, yeah, really. He explains things, and they're both sources of exposition, and, like, again, they're trying to undo the tropes in both cases.
Yeah.
Or support some.
Also, the way that, like, Noah's relationship with Riley evolves is much more sincere, oh, than like his crush on Sydney that comes at like the 2/3 in the movie mark, like, and
why are they all friends?
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's, yeah, exactly it. You, yeah, brought that up with in relation to why Billy and Sydney are together.
Yeah,
why are these people, yeah, in the movie friends?
Yeah, I mean, I buy Tatum and Sydney.
Okay, like, yeah, they're
that's fine. That I buy, and it's hard. Like, we barely saw. Here's the thing. Is there more than, like, two words exchanged between Sydney and Randy in this movie?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, so you don't even really know why.
The guys,
like,
seem to hate each other, yeah, too.
Yeah.
It's not like they tried to force Noah into the
I mean,
group,
okay, I guess Billy, Stewie, Tatum, and Sydney make sense because they're relationships and then friendship. Like, and it seems like Billy and Stewie are friends, and then Tatum, and so they all hang out together. But then Randy does seem just like the odd man out. I feel like, why is he here?
Yeah.
Like,
and I'm still a little confused by the relationship between
Tatum and
Stewie.
Yeah.
Are they casual? Are they together? Are they...
So I think... I don't think they're supposed to be casual. I think they are supposed to be together.
Okay.
But I do think it's...
Killed his girlfriend.
I don't really know. Well, that's a good point. I mean, there's always a bullshit reason why they killed the girlfriend. I don't really know what the point of Tatum is. I guess we can sort of talk about Tatum as far as that, like... She is the cliche they're talking about,
mm-hmm,
when they talk about, like, you know, the big-breasted blonde who just does the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. I guess they at least go against the cliche in that she fights back intelligently, right? But I guess it doesn't feel like... And I guess she's a nicer friend than... Like, you haven't seen a lot of the earlier slashers where, like, the virgin girl is kind of made fun of by everyone because she was bookish.
But that's the thing.
Like,
I know that's a trope.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that they have... this dynamic. Their friendship seems genuine. Yeah. Tatum does care about Sydney. Yeah. She tries to protect her. She makes fun of, or she gets mad at Dewey when he's not protecting Sydney correctly. She seems has
more
smart.
Layers than I guess I'm giving her
she
credit for.
She seems smart. I actually really liked her character. Yeah. If I had seen the TV, the movie before the TV show, I would have been more disappointed by Brooke initially.
Yeah.
Probably would have caught up at the end. Maybe not to the same degree. I still might still really? Might still rank Tatum ahead of Brooke.
I actually.
But I really like Brooke.
So, I really like Brooke.
I hold Brooke to the higher.
But I completely agree with you as far as initially I was like, this is the Tatum they picked. But because he actually had an arc, whereas Tatum is just like this to be in general and just gets killed.
Yeah.
I like Brooke more.
Well,
but
I think the thing with Brooke where Jake was always like, you think you're the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
But I always thought that Nina was supposed to be the top of the food
chain. Yeah,
yeah. So I didn't really understand how Brooke fit.
Well, they were talking in relation to, specifically in relation to Branson.
Oh, okay.
That she thought he was the one in control.
You made it sound like just in general.
Well, but it all stems from that initial conversation about Branson, though, where they talk about the Barracuda versus the Shark, whatever.
That happened before she revealed Bobcat. That she was sleeping with Branson.
She was talking as though she had a college boyfriend, he had already figured it out.
Oh, okay.
And
he
looked over at Branson with another girl or something at the time. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, now I remember this. This was part of my binge session in preparation for possibly needing to take over, which happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Tatum's cool.
Tatum is cool. I like her a lot. I like that she fought back. She fought back smart.
Yeah.
And she was
just like a couple fun lines.
She wasn't overly sexual.
Yeah.
Like
honestly,
not to the same point of putting Brooke in her underwear every episode.
This movie is actually, especially as far as slashers go, it's very tame sexually. Like all we see is during the sex scene, Sydney in her bra. Like that's
Yeah. That's why it's so weird, where I'm like, this is so much more sexual. I like Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited that Brooke is still alive.
Yeah.
So we can get even better fleshed out versions of her. But I like what they're doing in the spirit. I don't know what kind of character like this exists in the sequels,
mm-hmm.
but if they mess that up, I'll be really disappointed.
I'm trying to even remember.
Don't tell me anything. Okay, who did we miss?
We didn't
talk about Randy.
Her dad, the most important character. This is why I was so convinced that Kevin Duvall would just show up dead at some point.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, okay. So let's just, I think we covered everybody. We covered Billy, we covered Sydney.
Oh, what about, the principal?
Oh,
fun death. He's just a fun little vignette.
The mayor.
Yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
The mayor was a more extended version of him with a drug wife storyline, funny.
Two things I thought about. One is, did school ever get canceled in the TV show? I don't think it ever did.
No.
I was thinking about when it happened in this movie, I was like, oh, why didn't they do that? and the other thing I was thinking is, especially in my first viewing of this movie, I was like, my God, everyone is so callous. And I don't know if it's believable or not. Like, that opening scene, the scene that's, supposed to introduce you to all the friends,
mm-hmm.
everybody's being a total creepy douche. And, they're talking about gutting people and all that stuff. And it's so, I mean, obviously, when two of them end up being murderers, but, Randy's not that much better in that conversation. And,
he's the douche nerd.
Yeah, and so it's just, I couldn't decide if that was, so much that it was unrealistic or if they just are really awful, douchey people who don't even care when people get murdered. I still am unclear on that in my life, but
I think it was normal enough, their reactions of, oh, we're being interviewed. It's not like they were friends. It's not it was Nina, the Nina of their group. She was one of their close friends. Or her boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's not like they're following the members of the football team that were on. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, actually, that does remind me. I completely forgot that there was that whole thing where in the TV show, they did a Tinder for who should die next or whatever, and Brooke was on the list. You remember this? They did an app where it's Emma or so I guess the TV people are just as callous and awful, but they have more anonymity.
And I think that was another thing of Brooke being the next biggest mean girl.
Yeah.
Which they didn't have Tatum be. She wasn't a mean girl.
No.
She was really nice.
Yeah. She was just popular.
She was just popular, which is fine.
Yeah.
I like that. I have to say, overall, really like the movie. Even the characters I didn't enjoy watching as much, I see their purpose, and I got some entertainment out of them. I wouldn't say I hated any character, really.
No.
For, like, purely, like, why are they here? Yeah, I don't, they shouldn't even be a character.
Mm. I think the finale, I had forgotten how much I love that finale. Like, the whole really climax, all the little beats, her turning the script on them and calling them on the phone. I mean, even though it's, like, a little cheesy, it's still just, like, a really fun moment.
Her slipping on the Ghostface costume, that kind of pissed me off a little bit, like...
But her using using the umbrella, like
sticking her finger in the umbrella hole in Billy's chest to get him to get off of her. That's what I mean. She's really fighting back, like actually physically fighting back.
Yep.
Then again, maybe it's because she actually looks like she can fight back, whereas Emma is like a frail thing.
Yeah,
when she got slashed, I was like, you just cut her guts because she has like.
I actually ran into a similar thing when I was making a horror movie, which I still haven't shown you.
Oh,
I should do that at some point, maybe tomorrow. Then when I was writing the script, I had already cast. I was like rewriting. I was, you know, doing a new draft. I had already cast the main actress, and she was so small and slight that like my co director was like, you know, she should punk someone here. I'm like, I don't think this is sexist. She just, I think it would be comical if you had her, like, punch out the killer, and the killer looked like this, and she looked like this. It, like, sometimes, like, Emma, I just don't, unless she's, like, goes to a bunch of self-defense classes and, like, really knows how to use her, you know, weight or whatever.
She had a bat she never used.
Yeah.
I would carry that with me everywhere.
It's actually funny that I feel like she started out more intelligent and adept than she eventually became.
Yep.
That opening thing when she's locking the doors and the way she's talking to the killer and the way she grabs the bat immediately seems a little bit more adept. The funny thing, too, is because of the TV show aspect, they did something they never really did in the movies as far as that in the show, they're like outright vigilantes.
That's what I was literally just thinking. I was like,
yeah.
In the movie, I like that she actually is like, why can't my life be a Meg Ryan movie?
Yeah.
Or a porno. But Emma and her friends are like, let's go find shit. Like, let's put ourselves in danger. It's like, please don't.
I don't know how much slack to give them for that because they did have to make it last longer. But, like, I liked that.
Okay. The trade-off is either they look for the killer or they have a deputy who is, like, doing completely useless.
Yeah.
I am okay with what they did in comparison to having a Dewey.
I suppose. Though they did fire Brock.
I mean, this movie isn't much better about people of color. There was, like, one woman news reporter who was black, and that was it.
Yeah.
And that was it. Nope. No one else. Not even a teacher.
They address this in the sequel, though it's debatable how well. They at least try.
And that's another thing I'm curious about with the show. If they knew that that was an issue with the movie, why did they... Okay, Riley...
MTV.
Riley is played by an East Asian or Southeast Asian...
That gets killed second
actress,
or
who's
third.
Killed in the... so that... Well, and that was then like, Brock's fired
you,
after...
You didn't hear our first
episodes.
Few podcasts, but I was talking the first few episodes where I was like, okay, like, sure, Nina's boyfriend, Tyler... died, but that was off screen. So the first few people that die were Nina, who, you know, woman, then gay woman, then Asian woman. And I was like, are they going to keep doing this? And so, yeah, that
it's better than them having people, exclusively people of color dying.
Yeah, here. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Walking Dead.
I'm
cough,
trying
cough,
to think.
Cough, 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 cough.
I mean, I don't have that much knowledge of MTV shows, but I don't think that any of them are particularly known for their diversity.
I think they just have the token East Asian
actually,
actress.
I would say that the diversity that they're most known for is the sexuality.
They need to hold themselves to a higher standard because it's so stupid in this day and age to not understand the power of seeing like representation on TV. Like, I have to say this as, and I know, who am I to say this as, I'm white, I am, you know, a Caucasian female who speaks English without an accent, like, I don't know who I am to say anything
about.
You're
also Jewish.
I am Jewish. I brought up that I I'm like that curly, like I never straightened my hair, and growing up never saw a kid really who wasn't like a weirdo girl. There was never a normal girl with like curly hair and glasses on shows, but that's like on kid shows. Yeah. But I have friends who are growing up, lots of, I grew up in a very ethnically diverse area, and I'd find myself like talking about shows and my friends would be like, oh, well, have you ever noticed how they don't have anyone like me or like this person or like this? And growing up, I started to get more and more upset about that. Yeah. And now, I mean, that was like the 2000s on kid shows. Then it was when we were teenagers. And then there was like Glee, which tried to do it, but was cast two Asian actors who became a couple. It was just so...
Had its ups and its downs. I think there were some positive things from that, but obviously there were quite a few negatives.
But it's just this thing of like, it's been 20 years of this being an issue.
Yeah.
And it's getting louder, but nothing is changing. It's not changing fast enough. There's really no excuse.
Well, the thing that I always find funny about stuff like this is just that I think that it's, in addition to just like the moral imperative of doing this, I think it is good business sense on top of all of, like, which is, makes it even more, like, it just feels racist. Exactly. Because, like, if, at least if, back in the day, I felt like you could hide more behind the, we need to do this because it's good business sense. And it's just like, there's no reason why Brooke couldn't have been a person of color or, like, or, you know, Will or any, you know, any of these people, especially like,
or the sheriff himself. I mean, then there could have been someone they might have been afraid of like, well, then we're casting a person of color with a substance abuse problem. It's like, or you're casting a character with character flaws. Like, I don't, and that's what I was trying to get to, where my friends, they didn't really want to watch shows because they were like, well, if they're not representing people realistically enough, are they really doing a good job? And then they lost out on viewers.
Yeah.
That's the thing. MTV. Yeah. There's more than white suburban kids out there.
And I do want to throw out, it's not like I have a catalog of all their shows, so I don't really know if I'm talking a little out of turn here.
Girl Code is one of their best shows. And it's, you know, mostly women, thankfully. It's a show called Girl Code. But, like, more than half of their comedians are women of color. And, or at least, I would say at least half. And that's accurate. Like, that's just accurate. It's great, because guess what? There's more than white people, white women out there who have views on what being a woman is like.
Well, the show, Scream specifically, it does have a lot of characters to replenish in season two.
They and, fucking better. Yeah. Because I don't know, I don't want to keep talking, you know, I don't want to yell at them or be angry about this constantly, like I am with The Walking Dead. Yeah. Sorry, that's still, I know this is not The Walking Dead podcast, but that show fucks up with this too.
Yeah.
And that's AMC.
Yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Trend. I'm sorry, I need to get off of this.
All right, do we have anything else we want to throw in?
Overall, I'm really happy I saw the movie. I'm glad you made me watch it.
Are you excited for the sequel?
I am. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is a good reminder that we're going to do 2, 3, and 4, one a month.
Yeah.
The Scream 2. That's what it's called, right? Scream 2. Not Scream the Reckoning. Second. Yeah. Scream 2 is going to come out in October, and that'll be fun. It'll be a Halloween episode, maybe probably earlier than actually Halloween.
And if there is another horror movie you want us to cover, you know, send in tweets at ScreamPod or send an email to thescreampod@gmail.com. And maybe we will try to do that as well. Leave us a review on iTunes. That would be good.
Yes.
Triple checking that we don't have any emails or anything like that. So
smart.
Vamp for me.
The pressure. You should have been doing this while I was going on my
rant about
racial and just overall representation.
Yeah.
I will once again plug my Twitter that I do not tweet from very much, at OlgieBolgy.
I know what I was going to say. So we don't have tweets or emails about it, because I should have asked a couple days ago probably. But if you do have either thoughts about Scream 1 or 2, or just questions from a, you know, about anything, about what she thinks of this, of the second one compared to the other ones.
Yell at me for not liking Randy. Yeah. Feel free. I'm welcoming it.
Yeah, if you want to explain why you think Randy's better than Noah, I'll certainly hear you out.
And I will continue to disagree with you.
I'll also continue to disagree with you, but I'll hear you out. I mean, I do think that purists are silly to, like, I will admit that, I guess I'll hold off on this until you've seen Scream 4, but.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, guys, gotta keep listening. Yeah. Dan's got a big reveal after number 4.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you in October.
Bye-bye.